I'm going to do something that a year ago we would generally not do, which is we're going to start off with the Royals. Year ago, it wasn't so good. Like last year, Royals weren't giving us a whole lot to talk about other than around this time a year ago. It was like, are they going to trade away any of their young players, well, their young prospects?
They've already matched their win total from last year.
Monday, so they matched their win total from last year for the entire year, which is
56.
Sad. Yeah. It's really sad, but it was also kind of like a great moment of comeuppance for the Royals.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh man, like started from the bottom, now we're here. Okay, this is good. I like that. So I think that's how it was. That's how it's been this year. And I think there's not every Royals fan, but I think there's a lot of Royals fans that don't know what to do with themselves right now with this team. Because when you get a winner, and especially because like the Chiefs win games, the Chiefs are in contention every year. So you expect a Super Bowl contention every year. You expect them to make the playoffs. You expect them to go deep in the playoffs. You expect them to compete for a Super Bowl. And I think there's still a pocket of fans. Not every fan. I think there's some fans that are starting to wise up. But there's still a lot of fans that I think have this World Series or bust attitude with this team, just the way they're talking. They may not necessarily say World Series or bust, but they're like, man, if they make the way that they talk about the team is like, if they miss the playoffs, it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, a little bit of an unrealistic expectation from a team that is just starting to come up a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't have an issue with you kind of riding the roller coaster with this team. Like if they lose a few games, you're like, man, that sucks. Great. Like this past series, like you obviously go and win the first game, feel good about it. It's like, okay, good. We got game one. Now we just got to get one of these two, walk out with the series win. Now we took 5 out of 6 in the two series after the All-Star break. We're starting to build up some confidence. Cause this is the time where like, if you're going to win the Central, this is the time you start moving up. This is where you get that momentum going. The Royals don't have a very tough schedule here over the next week or so.
Sure.
You got the two Chicago teams here. This weekend you got the Cubs, and then after that you make the trip up to Chi-Town to take on the White Sox. So, this is a time where you want to start moving. You want to start stacking wins, because if you're going to make the playoffs, these are the kind of teams you need to go out there and stack wins against. But I don't like how some fans, not all fans, some fans still kind of have this boom or bust mentality with the Royals, where it's like, it's the worst thing. We're going to fall apart if they lose a series like they just did. And then before that, when they sweep the White Sox, everything's great. We're all good. It's perfect. We're going to be just fine. And like, I'm not saying it's not okay to get a little down about the losses or even be excited about the wins, but there's so much that goes into these seasons. These seasons are so long. There's so much going on. Like,
yes, sir.
It's no point in us getting too wrapped up in a 2 or 3 game stretch either way. Because at the end of the day, all we asked for at the beginning of the season, back in late March, we just wanted them to do what they're doing right now, which is play competitive baseball and be in contention when you get to August. When you get to the trade deadline, if you're competing, that's all we need. That's all we ask for. And I think there's still some pockets of fans that still have that mindset of boom or bust. And I caution against that, because I don't think it allows you to really enjoy the Royals season. Like, if after every loss, it hurts you the way that a Chiefs loss does, you're not going to enjoy the season.
Yeah, there's 162 games in this season. It compared to 17 games in the NFL, it's okay if we lose to the Diamondbacks. You know, it's okay if we lose a series to the A's. It's not the end of the world. The season is very long.
Like, I remember, like, a month ago, when they got swept by the Rangers and then they lost the second game in the series against the Marlins, people freaked the hell out. Like, I remember, because I produced the third game of that series with the Marlins. And Vern, like, I did not produce the third game. I produced After Hours After. And I drove in and I was listening to Vern do the post game. And Vern was heated at the fans from the night before. Not even that game, just the night before, because people called in and they were panicking. They were freaking out. Mind you, that team was still like 8 games above 500 at the time, which is one less game than they are right now. And they were freaking out. And I was like, hold up. They were 5, I think. I think they were 5 at the time. But still, 5 games above 500, which last year, if they had ever at any point got 5 games above 500 in June, you'd be really happy. You'd be really excited, especially considering how the previous years had done before then. But now, you're starting, like, you this year, it's like people, I think, change their expectations after the first couple of months, especially after that Rays series during Labor Day weekend. Not Labor Day, Memorial Day weekend. After that Rays series, everybody is like, not everybody, but a lot of people adopted the boom or bust mentality. And I know a lot of people want 2014 to happen again. They want 2015 to happen again. That was an incredibly rare set of circumstances in sports, let alone baseball, sports. It isn't always going to be like that. Let these guys cook. Let's enjoy the regular season. Enjoy competitive baseball in Kansas City for the first time since, 2016? I mean, because 2017, it was the writing was kind of on the wall that year.
Right.
But 2016, they were competitive. They had some injuries. You know, I think that was the year that Moose got that ACL tear with that collision with Gordo, right? Mm-hmm. So you had some injuries there. And I think at that point, we all kind of knew that, yeah, I mean, maybe they could make the playoffs, but they're not going to go as far because they're missing some key players. 17, we all knew that was the end of the ride there. Since then, it's been bad. And now we got a team that's competitive. I don't think the supply is to every fan. I think there's a lot of fans that are starting to wise up, and they're like, hey, I'm just here to enjoy the ride. And the people who call in to Vern's postgame show have wisened up for sure. A lot of those people are a little bit more optimistic, and they're enjoying the games now. When the team wins, they're happy that the team won. They're excited about what they could do. It's okay to criticize the team because the team does have some issues, but I think a lot of people were getting a little bit too up in arms about what the highs and lows of the team. And I would just caution people to just enjoy what they are witnessing with this team, because we don't get to see a lot of winning baseball here in Kansas City with the Royals.
Yeah, we all know that the winning baseball and Royals are not really synonymous, that they do not really go together. So, I mean, kind of like what you were saying, just enjoy the ride. I mean, we went from winning a total of 56 games last year, and we've already hit that mark this year. So, I mean, just enjoy the ride. This is going to be fun. I do think that the Royals are going to make the playoffs. But I don't think that they're going to make a booming sort of trade here at the deadline.
So speaking of trades, CDOT had Jim Bowden on to talk about potential trades for the Kansas City Royals, moves they can make to improve their chances of going deep into the playoffs. Here's what he had to say about potential trades happening for the Royals at the deadline.
Let's talk about the trade deadline. It's the big reason why we've had you on here. I've heard from Jeff Passan, we saw his report yesterday, that the Royals have been very aggressive behind the scenes and trying to make a deal happen before the deadline. You're very plugged in the baseball circles as well. What are you hearing about the Royals right now as we are, 5 days away from the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, look, J.J. Piccolo has done a really great job there, as you know, in the offseason, rebuilding that starting pitching, which is now second best in terms of team ERA in the American League. The two areas that's been a major problem really have been the bullpen and lack of offensive production from left field. And JJ has been on the phone, texting, calling aggressively for over a month now, trying to solve those issues. And he struck early with his deal with Washington, paid a steep price, but was able to land Hunter Harvey. which was a significant bullpen arm that should help them down the stretch. And he's still everywhere. And Matt Cortero, the manager, is a regular on my Sunday front office show on SiriusXM's MLB Network Radio. And, you know, I asked him the other day, I said, what are you guys looking for at the deadline? And, you know, he said, pitching, which is really what's gotten them here. I mean, it's pretty amazing, the rotation with an ERA of 3.5. The other thing that's been amazing about this Kansas City team is they don't strike out. Like, there's not a team in baseball that strikes out less. They move the chains. They find a way to get runs. They put the ball in play. And that's part of the reason why they're sitting here 8 games over .500 or whatever it is, with a chance to get to the postseason. So I think it's been a fun team to watch, and I don't think they're done. I think that J.J. is going to make another move or two between now and the deadline.
I appreciate that J.J. hasn't just jumped at any trade for any good relief pitcher that he could get. I appreciate the fact that he seems to be working cautiously and not going out of his way. Because, like, J.J. could definitely do what Dayton Moore did in 2015, which is we need to go get some arms. We need to go get We need to go get a nice utility player. And we're going to move as many prospects as we need to do it. 2015, they went out there and they moved some guys. They got Johnny Cueto. And they went out and they got Ben Zobrist. Worked out great. Zobrist was a key component to their World Series run. Cueto had some very key starts in the playoffs that helped them win the World Series. So you got to give them credit for that. It ended up working out. But also, those moves kind of put them in a bad spot because they didn't have that next class of great prospects to come up and keep the team winning, which is why they fell off so quickly, because they didn't have guys to replenish the ones that left when that run ended. And I appreciate that Piccolo, and granted, he doesn't have the kind of the kind of assets to move that the Royals did back in 14-15 when they had a really good farm system in addition to good young players on their roster. I think the Royals farm system is like ranked 25th or 26th in the league, so it's not great. But I do appreciate that the little assets that the Royals have, he's not chomping at the bit to get rid of so he can go get a good bullpen arm. Because I think we kind of saw this, and this wasn't just a yesterday, a last night thing. This has kind of been coming along here throughout the season. Like, as much as I like MacArthur, I don't know if he's a closer on a championship level team. I think he might be a good setup guy, might be a good eighth inning guy, but there's a lot of close calls with MacArthur. So I kind of feel like if you can get a real closer, I would appreciate that. If you can get that, like, that's really my gripe with the bullpen is, like, I think you need a real closer, not the guy you've been trotting out as a closer. I think you do that, and I think you get, like, another outfielder who can give you the same kind of, like, the ability to play defense, the ability to run the bases, and a decent level of hitting. I think you're good. But really, like, having a true closer, I think, gets you into the type of scenario you need to be able to make a run in the playoffs. But I appreciate that JJ is not just rushing to make any deal he can to go out and try to improve this team.
Yeah, I think that if you do make a trade at all, and like I said before, if, like, I'm completely against trading at the deadline. I don't want to sell off the farm. I think
it gets a little expensive the closer you get to the deadline.
Sure. And also, I want to see sustainable success, not just this year. Don't sell out everything you have just so we can maybe win this year, because I don't think that the Royals are quite there yet. And I know a lot of listeners are not going to like me saying that, but I mean, that's the truth. That's the way I see it. If they do make a trade, I would go for a closer, just like you're saying. Right now, Harvey is the guy. He's our best guy in the bullpen. That's why they put him against the meat of the order against the Diamondbacks last night in the eighth inning. We got to find something better than James MacArthur. I mean, I don't want to sit here and parrot what you just said, but you're absolutely
right. I mean, I'm
right.
Not the first one to say it. It's not an original idea of mine.
Right.
People have been saying it here probably for a while that, yeah, MacArthur's cool, probably not a closer. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying anything revolutionary
here. Yeah, if we do get a trade, That's where I think it needs to go. An outfield bat, maybe, but most likely
bullpen. For me, bullpen.
Bullpen.
Like, I'm more worried about the bullpen than I am the outfield. Like, that to me is my number one concern. Bullpen, because that was the one of the biggest strengths of the team when they did compete for championships.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of pressure HGH. Off of your starting rotation.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and the Royals have a really nice starting rotation. It's great. But it'd be nice if we didn't need Alec Marsh to go. And Marsh in the playoffs would probably come out the bullpen. But yeah. It'd be nice if we didn't need our starting rotation to go out there and pitch a damn near perfect game in order to keep the Royals in good chances to win.
And the thing is, when we won the series, we knew that if we could get to the sixth inning with the lead, it was over.
It was
donezo.
Yeah. Once you got to inning six, you put Hoshaver in, it was done. Like, we knew that was the situation there in 14-15. You get that sixth inning guy in, it's done. So it'd be nice if we could get there. I would very much appreciate if they were to go get, just for me, just one arm, one guy that you know he's going to be nails when he steps on the mound. That's all I'm asking for.
And it's not Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, no. I'm good on that.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
I'm good on that. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you why I think the Chiefs have a lot of first world problems.